There was a really close relationship. Divinely provided for. For women being attractive. And the attractiveness, I repeat, is part of divine providence. Because they have children and they, become older. And after a certain age, even physically, they can no longer bear children. But a man's sexual drives, shall I say it, do not become weaker with age. I think I should also say this. How many wives I've talked to and reprimanded and spoke very strongly to. All right. So now you had your children. And you attempted to think that your husband has served his purpose. Am I making sense? How many husbands have told me, Father, my wife tolerates me. She tells me she loves me. But how I need to have her show that she loves me by providing as a wife should for the divinely given satisfaction of my sexual inclinations. Am I clear? You can guess what I say to women when I give them a retreat. Back to us men. We must be ready, as Christ tells us, to pluck out our eyes. Otherwise, in marriage, I repeat, is no guarantee that our sexual inclinations will somehow fade out, even die down. The next verse, where Christ told us, rather enter heaven with one eye, for that matter, stone blind, and go to hell with two eyes. And let me say this. After the last day, this is part of our faith. Both those who will enter heaven with their bodies glorified, and those who will go to hell, not only in soul, but also in body. Do you hear me? That's our faith. What are we being told? Being told that even internal sins against chastity, if fully deliberate and unrepented, what a statement, deserve hell. How we need to keep hearing this and reminding ourselves of what Jesus Christ, the living God who became man, tells us. That's part one. Now part two is a one sentence quotation again from St. Matthew, but this time in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Over the centuries, the Church has interpreted that Beatitude as declaring, blessed are the sinless, of hearts, for they shall see God. In other words, no one enters heaven with sin unrepented on their souls. But for our purpose, the Church also, over the centuries, has declared that the Beatitude says, blessed are the chaste of heart, for they shall see God. And chastity of heart is what we are talking about in this meditation. Interior chastity. Chastity of the mind. Chastity of the imagination. Chastity in our desires. Chastity in our will. And now the reward, in Christ's own language, infallibly explained by the Church, we shall reach heaven and see God only if we have lived chaste lives. If we are living in the most lecherous century of the human race. Just imagine. Suppose Henry VIII had not given in to his mistress, Anne Boleyn. She told him, Henry, no more sex, unless I become queen. Talk about women seducing men. Henry, King of England, gave in. The Pope would not declare his marriage to Catherine of Aragon, remember, as a nullity. So Henry, no declaration of nullity. Henry then went to the bishops. I keep repeating this in one retreat after another. We have, near Detroit, the city of Rochester, the only bishop in England made faithful to the teaching of Christ was, remember, John Fisher, Bishop of Rochester. Though the Episcopate of England apostatized, I think I should say it, the strongest temptation for bishops in our century to apostatize is lust. Give in to the people who don't want to live an honest to God, Christian, chaste life. And over the years, under directives from Rome, have told members of the hierarchy, your great patron should be John Fisher. I've said this, I'm sure, to some of you. I've said this, Cardinal O'Connor. Amen, he told me. But I envy John Fisher. He told no to Henry VIII. The king put him in prison and beheaded him. He became a martyr. I am being killed, martyred, every day. I'm quoting Cardinal O'Connor verbally by the New York Times. All the courage we need in every state of life, from the hierarchy down to the youngest, the courage we need to live a life of purity of the heart, internal, interior chastity. This means, as we are saying, chastity in our minds. You cannot read everything. You cannot. I defy anyone to read the daily paper every day. Our widely circulating multi-million circulation weekly magazines regularly. I defy anyone to watch television every day, unreservedly, and remain chaste of heart. No way. You might wonder why I have saved and I have saved this meditation for the not quite closing meditation, one more coming tomorrow morning. Because I know human nature. I know human beings, and I sure know men, masculine gender. Whatever resolution you make, as the fruit of this retreat, in the name of God, resolve to practice chastity of heart and to give up, surrender, let go, give away whatever your experience has told you is seductive and makes your practice a repeat of chastity of heart difficult. Either we control our senses, or, and I must say this, you will not reach heaven. What's the reward which Christ promises? They, he says, the pure of heart will see God. And the seeing God is not only, though of course, also seeing God in that beatific vision for which we were made. It is seeing God, as we've been saying throughout the retreat, seeing God in every person, in every event of our life, seeing God in our pain, seeing God in our sufferings, seeing God in when we had our choice, over the last thing we would choose. But God, hear it, God has a free will. And God chooses to put into our lives what is not pleasant, what is painful. To see God in suffering. Oh, the grace we need. And the condition for that grace of seeing God in everything in our lives is the practice of internal chastity. I show I'm clear. No one, not only is in the right mind, no one speaking to you men who knows himself has any illusions on how demanding on our free will is the practice of internal chastity. That is why I keep saying we have a free will because we are to control with that will the internal senses. Control our minds, control our imagination, control our desires. Again, We have a free will which controls our muscles. Do you know that the muscles of the eye are voluntary? Did you know that? My right eye is involuntary. I am blind. All I have to do is close my left eye. And I see nothing. We must use our free will in submitting these wills of ours to the will of God, in mastering the voluntary muscles of our bodies. And the two voluntary muscles should especially control are the voluntary muscles of our eyes and our ears. I could add a third one, the voluntary muscle of our touch. Not sure I ever told you this. Did you know that St. Ignatius prescribed for us Jesuits? What a statement. What he calls the rules of modesty. According to my constitutions, I am not to touch another human being. Do you hear me? I am not to touch another human being unless charity or necessity require it. Isn't that something? And Mother Teresa, wise woman that she was, she incorporated these norms of modesty for the missionaries of charity. That's why no missionary of charity through all the world is allowed to either watch television or listen to the radio. Don't tell me, but Father, I'm not a consecrated religious. Pardon me. So what? We are human beings. Living in a demonically lecherous world. How we must use our free wills to control our senses in order to have mastery over our minds, our desires, and our imagination. Lord Jesus, you were conceived and born of your Virgin Mother. You told us we must be chaste, and chaste not only in our bodies, but chaste internally in our minds and wills. But, dear Lord, you know how pathetically human we are. Give us the strength to use our free wills to control our strong passions so that we may see you in everything in our lives here on earth and see you in that everlasting beatific vision for which you made us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois, 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.